Welcome to the Rock Church's newest podcast series, Coffee Conversations. In this series, members of the Rock staff will be sitting down together in one of our C3 coffee bars to discuss in further detail the sermon from that week. Today, you'll hear Josh Finkley, Clay Finkley, and Dylan Thompson discuss week 2 of Grace. Enjoy!
What we're going to do tonight is we're going to just kind of continue the conversation that we've been having all weekend about grace. You know, we're in this series called Grace. Kind of our theme verse is Hebrews 12:15. It says, make sure that no one misses the grace of God. But then we're taking that and then we're looking at stories of Jesus where he kind of sat around a table or he shared a meal with somebody. And in the midst of that meal, he displayed grace. He helped people connect with grace. He helped people respond with grace. So we talked about Matthew at his table last week. This week, we're going to pick up another story. But before we do so, I want to talk to you guys. If you don't know these guys, this is Dylan. This is Clay. They serve on staff with us here at The Rock, do a lot of work at our coastal campus. I want to ask you guys, just as we start, have you ever had a time in your life where your siblings maybe went and told on you to your parents, or a classmate went and told on you to a teacher, a coworker went and told on you to your boss, anything like that, you know what I mean? So
I'll never forget the great cartwheel debacle of 2008. It was a summer night.
All right, did you just make up that year?
Completely made up the year.
I was wondering. That's what it felt like.
Anyways, you and Mom were out on a date or something, or you're at church or whatever, and it was me, Tate, and Abby, and Mackenzie at the house, and Tate and Abby were pretty young at this point, but they were jumping up and down on the couch, and I had a pillow, and I was kind of like fake hitting them, whatever, just kind of hitting them with a pillow, and then Abby had the great idea to just jump full force off the couch. Right when I made a decision to swing as hard as I could to hit her with a pillow.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So she jumped. I caught the ankles on my way down. And it was like when someone runs into an exercise ball or something. And she just goes, woof, woof. And then flat on her back, onto the ground. Just instant, like, you know when someone gets their air knocked out. And they're just like, yeah, she had that feeling going on. And I'm sitting there, and my first thought, not her safety, not how she was feeling. Please don't tell Mom. Please don't tell Dad. Like I was so worried. And guess what? They did. And thankfully, you laughed at her because you're someone who doesn't handle pain tolerance very well.
Mercy is not my number one gift. It is down on like number 99 on my gift list.
Yeah.
So I get that. I thought you were going to bring up the time where you about burnt the house down because you did the... We don't have time to go into the whole story.
The microwave
Kraft mac and cheese type thing.
I may have blown up 2 or 3 microwaves in my day.
Did you know you have to put a little bit of water in that when you...
I didn't eat Kraft.
Did you also know you can't put forks in there either?
I did know that, yeah.
Dylan, anything from you?
I feel like with my siblings, most of the time I was the one.
Ah,
I was
like the
goody two-shoes. You were that kid.
I was just such a golden child, you know. But no, I did take my Game Boy to school one time in elementary school. It was the Game Boy Advance SP, the blue one.
That's a good one.
It flipped up. It was nice. Got it for my birthday, took it to school, and some kid ratted on me, and the teacher took it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So that sucked. But I was mad.
How long were you? Was it gone just for the day?
The whole day. Oh. But then I got told that if I brought it back to school, I would lose it, like from my parents.
So. Yeah,
that's rough.
Didn't do it again. Fast learner.
Yeah.
So
that's good. I mean, simple stories that help us get into our story of tonight is we're looking at a story that we're looking at it from the text that is found in Luke chapter. 11.
10.
Like, 10. Man, my brain. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. And in there, we have a story about a lady named Martha and a lady named Mary, and they were eating dinner with a bunch of other people, but also with Jesus. And it's a very well-known story. It's actually the first story that I ever wrote any kind of curriculum for.
Really?
Yeah, so I mean, I would have been back in Bible college, like when I was young. I still remember the camp. We called it One Thing. That was back when City Slickers came out. Time out. Y'all don't even know what
I
I'm talking
no
about.
I have no idea.
City Slickers came out.
No idea.
One City thing, Slickers. Okay, Curly, one thing. Y'all can go Google that. City Slickers, Curly, one thing, and you'll laugh. Anyway, I want us to break down the story. So one of us, if you could, just tell us the story, just in general. Just walk us through the text real quick, and then we'll bounce back and dig into it.
Yeah, just, it's a real simple story. Jesus comes into Bethany. He's going into Bethany, and he stops at the house with Mary and Martha. And those are two sisters. And then Mary and Martha are there at the house. And while they're there at the house, there's two different things that go on. One, Martha is very busy. She's serving like crazy. She's going all over the place. She's you know, cleaning and making food and doing all the things to make the house perfect for Jesus. While at the same time, Mary is sitting there at the feet of Jesus, spending time with him. So you have these two sisters doing two completely different things inside of it. And then Martha gets really frustrated. She looks at Jesus and says, why don't you tell her to serve? That's what she should be doing. And Jesus is like, no, don't you realize this is the better thing for her to do right now? So really quick story, really basic story, but I think there's a lot to unpack inside of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like I said, one of my favorite stories in Scripture because it is such a quick story, but there's so much to unpack.
So much to unpack.
You know? And it would be easy to pit these two against one another. I think I've heard many a sermons where Mary is the righteous one and Martha is the bad one, that Martha is the one messing up here. But I think when we realize it from a different angle, they're both doing some great things, but there's some great grace that can be given and great education or great knowledge that can be learned is probably a better way to say that. So let's just start with talking about Martha. That, you know, Clay, I know you've got a little bit of you've been thinking about this Martha character a little bit. So tell us just a little bit about Martha and not just what she's doing, but what we learn from her.
Well, I think her story is so interesting because she's so busy and focused on serving Jesus. And if we don't read this text carefully, we can look at that as a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can look at it as like, man, what are you doing, Martha? Like, you should be doing this. And yeah, there was something better to do, sitting at the feet of Jesus and being with him. That was the better thing to do. But it wasn't like serving him was a bad thing. It's just, I think I pull from that is, she was just so focused on serving that she missed out on the better thing. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of us that deal with that in today's world where we are constantly doing stuff. It's keeping our schedules busy. It's doing this or that. It's work. It's school. It's games. It's practice. It's all sorts of different things that sometimes we get so caught up in that, or we get so caught up in what we're doing while we're serving that we forget about the most important thing, which is spending time with God. And if we don't spend that time with God, then it kind of throws us out of whack. And then our serving, it becomes very shallow, very self-centered, very not what it needs to be. And it's dangerous because it sneaks up on you. Because a lot of times you think you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. You think you're doing the right thing by staying busy and doing all these different things. You think you're doing the right thing by serving like crazy. But if you're not spending time with Jesus, then you're missing out on the whole point of everything. That's really where your source of power comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because when you think about serving, I mean, we say all the time here at church, start serving.
Yeah.
Like everybody should be teamed up. Everybody should be serving, that we should do that. But if it's only about serving, then it's really about us. It's not about Jesus and it's about others. But if we understand serving with worshiping, then those two go more hand in hand. Dylan, were you going to add something there?
Yeah. I wrote some notes real quick, so let me pull those out. Initially, I was really leaning more into Mary, but as I read through this last night, a couple things that I picked out. Martha's issue, I think I'm guilty of doing what you said earlier, where you pit the two against each other, and Mary's kind of the holy one. Martha's the bad guy of the story in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super guilty of reading it that way, but as I was reading through it last night preparing for this, I feel like I realized, like, just because Scripture says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had made, that distraction is what led her not only to be angry at her sister, but at Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to Jesus and says, hey, don't you care that my sister's not doing the work? Like, she gets really aggressive towards him. And I feel like we are all guilty of that. We can become so distracted by life that we become angry at God when things aren't going the way that we want them to. But Jesus' response is where you realize what's really wrong with Martha. What's wrong with Martha is not the fact that she's just missing out on Jesus in this moment, because she's serving him. She's preparing a meal. She's preparing a table for him. There's nothing wrong with that. But when Jesus responds to her, he says, "Hey, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, like, "Hey, stop working." He says, "No, you are worried." That, I think, is where Martha gets this wrong, mm-hmm. is that she let her work, even for Jesus, even the ministry that she was doing in that moment, consume her to the point of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And that is what puts a wall between us and God, if that makes sense.
That's
where I think she falls short in this story. Not just that work is bad, but work to the point of worry mm-hmm. is what interrupts our relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And I think because she wasn't focused completely on the right things, it actually shifted the focus of her service. If you look at the text and you read the text, it's right along with what you're saying. Like, it goes from serving Jesus. Then when she talks to Jesus about Mary, she says, "She's not helping me." Mm-hmm. Well, it's not about helping me. Mm-hmm. It's about focusing and serving on him. And I think this is a problem I see a lot in this gen. Like, and as someone who works with a lot of this gen leaders, whether it's, you know, a college student, young adult, high school, middle school, whatever, they often start, you've seen this in ministry a lot, mm-hmm. is they start off on fire and they're going after and they're getting after and they're like some of your best volunteers, best leaders that you could ever have. They are just going and going and going. And for some reason, a lot of times that fire turns into an inward focus of like, "Hey, look at what I'm doing." Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, when something is kind of thrown that we don't want, that we as a this gen leader don't want, then it's like, "Oh, that's happened against me. This is challenging my position. This is challenging my service. This is challenging what I could do." Mm-hmm. When that's not the focus at all. It shouldn't be about what I can do. It should be, what can I do for him? Mm-hmm. And if we do that, if we switch that mindset, and that's where it's right here. Like, the mindset got switched from a Jesus-focused into a me-focused in a small way that I've never caught before studying for this.
Yeah, yeah. And so let me take that, because what you guys are saying is gold here, okay? It's, you know, that we can't allow our work to become, we can't worry about over our work and miss our focus. Yeah. We can't turn our work into inner focus, that it's all got to be about Jesus, all right? Well, so let's look at it from this perspective. Let's talk to those who are serving the Lord, and that could be serving the Lord inside the church, serving the Lord outside of the church. It could be serving the Lord anywhere, and losing focus on the Lord, all right? So for those who are hearing that, let me talk to you two as guys who professionally work for the Lord, okay? And it would be real easy to turn your life into working for the Lord and worrying about your jobs and worrying about ministry and worrying about people getting connected, that you totally forget to worship the Lord, okay? So how do you make sure that you don't fall into this same trap that Martha fell into, okay? Because again, what she was doing was outstanding.
It was not bad.
No. So how do you make sure you don't fall into that that trap?
You know, Dylan, you did a lot of study on Mary. For me, it all centers around one of our core values, which is first things first. Mm-hmm. The first thing we should do is focus on a relationship with Jesus in every aspect. And for me personally, that is a daily connect time, a daily time where I get to read my Bible, hear God speak to me and pray and have that conversation with him. That is centering my day so I can set up everything else. If I don't start with scripture and start with God speaking to me and having that conversation, that dialogue with him, then I'm going to go off path the rest of the day because I didn't start my day focusing on him. I started my day focusing on what I have to do. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened here. Mary focused on him, and then we'll see the effects of that. We'll talk about that in a second, I'm sure, of that story. But she started focusing on him. Martha focused on what she had to do first. And mm-hmm. I think that's the difference there.
Yeah.
And in the same way, every single day, I need to focus on what I need to do first, which is to follow Jesus by, you know, connecting with him through a connect time and through a prayer time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, other accounts of the story and other gospels kind of paint the picture that Martha is concerned with preparing this elaborate feast for Jesus, mm-hmm. With pleasing Jesus through her works. And I think when we fall into that mindset of, oh, I can earn, mm-hmm. I can earn God's grace, I can please God through my works and not through being with him, that's when the anxiety creeps in. Mm-hmm. When we lose focus of the one who gives the mission, and instead we put the mission above that, mm-hmm. that's when things fall apart for us. Mm-hmm. You know, Mary, Jesus says, did the better thing, because when she sat at his feet, like, that terminology means that she assumed the role of a disciple. Mm-hmm. She assumed the role of one who is under, one who is there to learn, one who is there to glean and grow. Mm-hmm. That's the more important thing, always, you know, mm-hmm. always. If we are not being a disciple of Jesus, if we are not sitting at his feet, learning from him, being poured into, how can our ministry be effective?
That's right.
You know, I think that's where Mary and Martha get it backwards here, is that Martha is concerned with doing ministry out of her own power for her own desires, which is earning God's pleasing grace in her life. Mary understands that, man, if I just sit and be with Jesus, spend time with him and learn from him, that is how grace is given to me. And then I can go be effective later. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, speak more into Mary. Let's keep going with Mary then for a second. Anything else you want to add in on that?
Mm. I feel like you could go a long time on Mary. Mary is often in scripture, she seems a little more all over the place, if that makes sense. Like with Lazarus's tomb, she's mm-hmm. not as concerned about the here and now, the dates and the times and things as Martha is. But Mary, I think, I desire to have the attitude of Mary, if that makes mm-hmm. sense, that I'm okay putting off what needs to be done if Jesus is here with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I love the fact that Jesus tells Martha concerning Mary, you know, what she's chosen isn't going to pass away. Like, she's not going to lose that.
Yeah.
If you put this in context of Jesus's story, like, Jesus is going to die pretty soon after this.
Yeah.
So how is it that her being with him is not going to pass away when he's about to go die? It's mm-hmm. because our ministry, the things we do, the things we work towards, those we might have effects that are longer lasting of them, but those actions, those things stop when we die. Mm-hmm. What doesn't stop is our relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I think Mary understood the value of that. She understood the gravity of being in relationship with Jesus. And that's something that I want in my life, where it's, mm-hmm. it is easy to become consumed with the things that I have to do, my task list, even in ministry. I mean, I know you probably feel this as well. Yeah, like, it can absolutely. Be very easy to fall into this trap of, like, these are the things I have to do because they please God. Mm-hmm. But if I am not doing what Mary did and working from a place of communion with Jesus, then my ministry for Jesus is going to be ineffective. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. And here's what's interesting about this story. You pointed this out to us at a staff meeting a couple months ago, and I just never put it together, but, you know, you pointed out that this story is probably presented in all four Gospels, mm-hmm. Just by looking at, you know, text lining up and all that. And I think it's easy for us to believe that our ministry is going to be less effective when we do less. You know, for this idea of, like, when we take a step back and we really focus on Jesus and we just kind of sit and reflect and be with him rather than do, we feel like, man, my impact would be less. Like, I feel like I have to do more. It's exactly what you said, the works thing. It's like, mm-hmm. I have to do more. I have to constantly be pushing the ball forward, which is true. There's an aspect of that where we have to do that. Yet, the person who is celebrated in the story is not the person that was serving. It was the person that sat at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mary's story was told in all four Gospels. It's a story that's going to be told forever because that's what Scripture is. It's everlasting. Mm-hmm. So you have this woman who makes a decision to sit at the foot of Jesus and be with him. And that makes just as much, if not a bigger, probably a bigger in this scenario, a ministry impact than Martha, who is trying to prepare this great feast. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for us to realize is, like, hey, you know, if you just take a moment and sit at the feet of Jesus and recognize, hey, what do you want from my life in this moment? Then you're going to be able to do greater ministry longer term. And it's just something that is key to realize is sometimes doing more is actually doing less in a weird way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, and so kind of thinking about this story from a practical standpoint, though, because that's all great stuff that we got to learn, that we've got to learn from Mary. We've got to sit at the feet of Jesus. We've got to put first things first, and we everything revolves around him and from him. Then you flip to Martha. You know, Martha's probably just working out of her personality. You know, you brought something up. I almost wanted to jump into some Enneagram talk about, I bet Martha's a one.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? Like, if you think about it that way, that because like she's busy thinking and doing and perfecting and trying to get everything. And that was probably her natural inclinations throughout all of the way that she served Jesus and went through life. But we have to be careful that we just don't get things out of order. You know what I mean? Again, Martha has done nothing wrong. She just got things out of order, you know. And it, in the same way, if Mary only sat at the feet of Jesus and never did anything with her faith,
she would have something wrong there too.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So, but you start with first things first. And I do really think in the story that Jesus is saying, whoa, slow down, quit worrying, quit being anxious, stop. What she's chosen is the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her. Because we do see that Jesus passes. We do see that these ladies, all right, that they are part of the group that is recognizing Jesus. They are part of the group that is that Jesus shows up to at the resurrection as part of the discipleship or disciples group. That we know that they go out from there and they do ministry. You know what I mean? So it isn't like Mary just only worried about the feet of Jesus. She was also concerned about serving, but she had things right in the right order, you know. And I think that is critical, even as we sit in the midst of COVID right now, you know what I mean, that we don't forget, first things first, sit at the feet of Jesus and worship. Secondly, get up and get to work, you know what I mean, get up and give grace to others. Now, let's wrap this by just talking about how do we see grace in the midst of this story, sitting around this table? How do we see the grace of Jesus being active in Mary's life and in Martha's life? And you can pick one of them, or you can talk about both of them, or anything like that. So kind of wrapping up the idea with that.
So the way Martha talks to Jesus as a rabbi was incredibly disrespectful, and Jesus technically had all authority to kind of snap back at her, but he doesn't. Because I think Jesus has this tendency to see through the shells that we put up, right? Like Martha's, her shield is protecting her vulnerability of anxiousness, if that makes sense. So she becomes aggressive so that she doesn't let on to the fact that she's worrying and she's anxious and she's afraid and upset. But Jesus sees through that. And what he does is he kind of points at the thing that's wrong, like the real thing that's wrong. And I think that's grace too. I don't think grace is always just, hey, you can go away scot-free. Like, I think grace sometimes is kind of like, I heard somebody say it's like a doctor who starts pressing on, hey, does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? Eventually working his way to the spot that like really is messed up. That's grace, because that's pointing out the problem so that we can surrender it to him and let him fix it. So when I read this story, that's how I see grace play out. It's my grace is good enough to fix the things in you that you can't fix yourself, that are destroying you.
That's good. Anything else, Clay?
Yeah, I think you know, Scott talked about it this weekend, this idea of fairness and grace. And you mentioned it a little bit earlier, the idea of working towards this salvation, working towards this love, and this idea that it's not what you do that creates this salvation, this redemption, this moment that we have with Jesus. It's just being with him, and this recognition that grace isn't a fair thing, if I could say it that way, as Scott mentioned this weekend. It's not a fair thing, because it's done in a completely different thing. If grace was fair, then we would all be in a very bad spot, because there's no reason Jesus should have died on the cross for all of us, right? Like that's not fair. And just because Martha was doing everything, like serving and serving and serving and serving, which was good, doesn't mean Mary wasn't doing the right thing. So this idea of grace being played out in this concept of fairness, I think is really important to realize. Like, she should have extended grace because she's recognized, oh, she's spending time with Jesus. This is awesome.
That's right.
Right? This is a good thing for her. Maybe that would have made her realize, like, oh, okay, I need to do that too. But yeah. You have this two play where she should have extended grace to Mary because she's recognized, oh, that she's actually doing what's better right now. Mm-hmm. Then you also have the grace extended, like, hey, recognize, like, just because you're doing something doesn't mean that's what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what
I think.
That's
a great point, just from the idea of Martha could have extended grace to Mary right there. And she learns from Jesus because Jesus gives grace back to Martha and says, let me point something out. And then my guess is from that moment, either Martha went, got it, and sat down,
yep,
or went, got it. I'm going to let her do what she's doing right now. I'm going to finish this so that everybody else can keep doing that, and then I'm going to come sit down. We don't know the back end of the story.
Either way is great.
Either way is great. My guess is Martha got it and Mary got it, you know? And I just wonder if Mary afterwards said, Martha, I appreciate you serving so hard. I'm going to take care of cleaning up so that you can sit here. I mean, obviously I'm reading into the story. We have no clue what's going on there. But we can see grace interacting on so many levels, because at some point after the conversation with Jesus, Martha and Mary had to also extend grace to each other and walk out that relationship. So, all right, so we've got to wrap this up. Here's what I want us to do as we get ready to head into a respond time is I just kind of want to challenge you to ask yourself this. Which lady are you more like? Do you find yourself with a tendency to be more like Mary, who is just sitting? Or do you find yourself to be more like Martha, who gets busy and upset or anxious or worries and is always doing? Remember, as we say as a church, our mission, love God, love people, and do something about it. So we do need to be sitting at Jesus' feet, first things first. And we do need to be serving him and serving others, loving God and loving people. But we probably all have a tendency to which one we are more like.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about The Rock, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search Rock C3 for our app. Have a great week.